105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Starting in September, a new school opens in Cambridge. It's called the University Technical College Cambridge, or just plain UTC Cambridge. The school is looking to recruit pupils aged 14 years who have a flair for science. They're going to be taken right through to age 18 with a curriculum that, alongside regular subjects like English, maths and languages, will be big on science. They'll also be involved in projects with some of Cambridge's top science researchers. This Saturday's Science Show has an exclusive interview with Melanie Radford. She's the acting school principal. And here's a clip.
Why Cambridge? Why not Leicester? Why?
Science in Cambridge is the most important thing. We are locally sponsored by some fantastic employers that you don't find anywhere else in the world. Those employers have said to us that they need the next generation of scientists to come out ready, be able to work with them, whether it's at the lab technician stage or going to university, getting a doctorate and coming out as a research scientist. This is what Cambridge employers need in the biomedical industry. Just like UTC Heathrow is an aviation college, because that's what they need in Heathrow. Mm-hmm. So the UTC movement is a national movement, locally implemented for the needs of the local community and local employers.
And if you want to hear more of that interview with the head, listen to the Science Show on Cambridge 105 at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. And kind of an educational theme to us on 105 Drive today, because Liz Pearl has been down to the Leeds School, where the Earl of Wessex and a whole load of other people were today. That's the opening of the new Great Hall there. And we'll hear that interview just after 5:45, or 5:45 to 6 this afternoon.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105, community radio in your city. The official opening of the new Great Hall at the Leys School in central Cambridge this afternoon drew a crowd of alumni, supporters and local dignitaries, including the Lord Lieutenant of Cambridgeshire, the Mayor of Cambridge, the High Sheriff and the Chairman of Cambridgeshire County Council. His Royal Highness, the Earl of Wessex, opened the £9.5 million Art and Science Centre, which has been built over 2 years following a major fundraising campaign. The Leys School is an independent co-ed day and boarding school. It was founded in 1875 as a Methodist foundation. Alumni include Professor Sir John Wiles, the mathematician who proved Fermat's baffling last theorem, and Sir J.J. Thomson, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1906. The Great Hall, comprising three science labs, two drama classrooms, one rehearsal space, a 337-seat theatre, an 80-seat drama studio, a dance studio, a coffee shop, which has been named after a Leys teacher who is the real-life inspiration for the character Mr. Chips, and a rooftop space for outdoor science experiments. It's the largest building project in the school's 139-year history. Stephen Levy, who's a luminous and a Tony Award-winning West End and Broadway theatre producer, told Liz Pearl about the advantages of the new performing arts spaces.
The old theatre was a product of the 1960s. It was not a period particularly noted for excellent architecture, and it was more of a functional assembly hall than a legitimate theatre. The current building is, in every sense of the word, a theatre in terms of sight lines, in terms of its overall design and layout, technical aspects of it, the acoustics, but also versatile because it does double as an assembly hall as well, where the seats can be cleared, where the capacity can be increased.
What kind of skills will students be able to gain from the new facilities?
I think it'll benefit students in any area of the performing arts they're interested in pursuing, whether they be actors, stage technicians, directors, designers, whatever their particular area of interest. Your ability to succeed is really part based on the opportunities you're given, and it's just a fabulous building.
And Liz Pearl reporting there.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So here we are then on a Thursday night. We will start off our entertainment hour, as always, with a look at the unsigned chart. In a few moments' time, we'll play the songs, play the song, which has reached number one. But first, we'll take a look at this week's new entry. The band are the Silent Majority. This is Their Town.
You might live here, but this is their town. You might live here, but this is their town. You might live here, but this is their wandering around the centre, passing passers by, through the opulence and grandeur of the other side. Well, maybe I'm just bitter. Is this
That is the band known as the Silent Majority. They are the new entry in this week's unsigned chart. They are from Cambridge, a new band. Ollie Yates on guitar and vocals, Pat Parker on bass, Ben Piper on drums. Ben, by the way, was the drummer for the band They Live, who've been featured before on Cambridge 105. Influences there include The Smiths, The Libertines, The Beatles, Baby Shambles and The Clash. Their debut EP is now available as a free download on SoundCloud, and they're also the guests on Monday night's Stagger, and you can find out more about them by visiting the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Silent Majority Band. That's where you find out about that. You can vote for them at cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart. We'll count down the chart in a moment. Quickly though, to the traffic. We mentioned a short while ago the A14 westbound. I'm pleased to say that has now cleared and returned to normal. However, eastbound is now really slow at Junction 32. The problem there is a police escort for a damaged vehicle, so presumably what crashed westbound is now delaying the traffic going eastbound as that's cleared away, and a police escort there. Thanks to Tim for passing that particular piece of information on.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned Chart on 105 Drive.
So counting down then this week's chart. At 5, Trouser Crisis and Taken. 4, Too Cool Kid, Under Your Breath. Number 3, Motor Tapes, Sure. Number 2, Helium, Daydream Days, which means at number 1, Afterglow, Unlock Your Mind.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
That's Afterglow, Cambridge 105, Unlock Your Mind. They are number one in week 94 of the Unsigned Chart. You can place your votes by going to the website cambridge105.fm/unsignedchart. We'll play a track for you every day on 105 Breakfast with Merlin at 8:30. We'll take a look on 105 Drive at the chart midway point on Monday night just after 6. And then on Wednesday, 8 o'clock, Tim will be here to count down the full chart for you as part of the new music generator. If you are in a local band, perhaps you're a local solo artist, and you'd like to be featured in the chart, then get in touch with Tim, tim@cambridge105.fm. Right, it's 12 minutes past 6 o'clock, and Skye is here, but no Hattie.
Yes, unfortunately, she's unwell, so you'll have to... put up with me.
for what you were saying, it's probably best not to go into details on that at the moment. Hattie, if you're listening, do get well soon, and hope to see you here next week again. But in Hattie's absence, what are you going to be looking at today?
Going to look at Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio's fifth collaboration with their take on Jordan Belfort's book, The Wolf of Wall Street. And also we'll be previewing the new Coen Brothers film, Inside Llewyn Davis.
This is Cambridge 105. Emma's had to go early today, unfortunately, so she'll miss the news that Justin Bieber has made his first court appearance after his arrest in Miami. His bond was set at $2,500. There we are, Skye.
He's
a bad person. Right, film and theatre, and we're going to be doing The Wolf on Wall Street, I gather, today.
Yes, indeed. It's almost like a Goodfellas-inspired piece from director Martin Scorsese, teaming up once more with Leonardo DiCaprio, and we're going to play you a clip now.
Can you say that again? Just the way you said it. Just the same way.
I don't know what you're talking
about. No, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Just say the same thing. I think what Jordan just did is he, if I'm not mistaken, you just tried to bribe a federal officer.
No, technically I didn't bribe anybody.
No,
technically,
that's not the conversation.
No. According to the U.S. Criminal Code, there needs to be an exact dollar figure for an exchange of services that would not hold up in a court of law.
Not how I heard it.
No. That's the truth. But I want to tell you this.
Yeah.
The same gentleman that told me that you tried to get your broker's license also told me that you were a straight arrow.
You ran a security check on me.
Well, now when you sail on a boat fit for a Bond villain, sometimes you need to play the part, right?
Oh, yes. That's a good line, that. So this is a blackly comic tale of a true story from a hedonistic, corrupt Wall Street stockbroker. Jordan Belfort is a clever young man with ambition to burn. For him, greed isn't just good, it's great. Mentored by Mark Hanna, played for a small scene with Matthew McConaughey, Belfort proceeds to tear up Wall Street during the 90s. He works hard, earning over nearly $1 million a week, and he also plays hard, enjoying a blizzard of drugs, drink, sex, parties and expensive toys. But pride comes before a fall, and Belfort's pump and dump boiler room scam is about to lead to a mighty comeuppance. Adapted by Broadwalk Empire creator Terence Winter from Belfort's own memoirs, this Goodfellas of the financial world has been a long-cherished project for director Martin Scorsese. And watch out for a supporting role from Joanna Lumley as well.
Joanna Lumley?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's also quite a few cameos. Rob Brenner, who's obviously a well-known director, he did like Princess Bride and such. He has a supporting role. Spike Jones. Jonah Hill is in it as well. And it's quite a long film. It's 3 hours long. Dealing from Belford's like first induction into the Wall Street beast, as it were, and through leading up to his eventual conviction for stock market manipulation.
So in terms of time, what sort of period does this cover?
It's through the 90s,
right.
I think there was a stock market crash sort of in the 90s, and it moves on from he takes a tumble and then builds himself back up with this. He's a very charismatic character, DiCaprio. I think the problem is with DiCaprio is that you always know it's him playing another character, but it makes it no less sort of interesting to watch. The camera is wonderful. It's such an obscene film in a lot of ways, dealing with... You don't have to understand the stock market. You just have to understand that these guys are making stupid amounts of money that they just don't know what to do with. So it's all about excess. But there is a sort of a moral obligation from Scorsese to say it goes to a point where it's too excessive, it's too grotesque, and this is not the life that you want to lead. And eventually it will lead you going to prison or possibly, getting killed. So
this is a true story?
Yeah, it's taken from Jordan Belfort's memoirs. And he's still alive today, and he does seminars of how to get rich quick and all that sort of thing. So it's the film itself feels like a huge marketing pitch. It feels like it's selling itself to you constantly. You've got the DiCaprio's voiceover throughout the narrative, his version of events. But it's similar to the kind of gangster films that Scorsese's done in the past. There's some great editing. You almost feel there's mistakes, but they're not mistakes purely because the guy is on drugs all the time, and so the sort of story reflects his state of mind in certain crises.
Because the other one which went along this avenue was Rogue Trader, as told the story of Nick Leeson. Do you remember that one?
I've heard of it. That had Ewan McGregor in, didn't it?
Yeah, 1999 that was released.
Oh, okay.
And that was to do with the collapse of the Barings Bank, which Leeson's actions had led to.
Okay.
David Frost, the producer of that film.
Oh, right. Interesting. Yeah, I think it draws on elements of that. Also, Wall Street, Michael Douglas's Gordon Gekko. It's that kind of style. And so it doesn't... You don't have... I initially went in not really interested in the premise, but it it definitely is very entertaining. And it's a very funny scene involving DiCaprio so high on drugs that he can't even crawl, you know, he has to crawl to his car and attempt to drive home. And we were like laughing out loud. So, yeah, it's rated an 18. Like I said, a lot of sex and drugs and swearing. But if that's your it's been very popular in theatres. It's definitely been selling out a lot of shows. So, yeah, go check it out. Wolf of Wall Street.
Got the times?
Indeed, yep. I do. On my bit of paper, I've got it.
There's a piece of paper from his pocket. It is tidily done.
It is.
Oh, we heard the rustle of the paper there. That's good. I like that.
At Cineworld, you can see it tonight, 7:20 or 8:00. Similarly, at View, you can see it at 7 or 8 o'clock. And Arts Picture House are showing it at 8:30 too. And there will be lots of showings from all three cinemas this week. So, as I say, it's 3 hours. So, you know, make sure you go to the loo beforehand.
Yeah, you know my feelings about long films. Well, I do kind of like the sound of that. That's the problem. Maybe I should go and see the first half, have a break, and then come back and see the second half and another showing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the film times, and we'll play a song, I think.
We will. We've got a message, though, from Hattie.
Oh, okay.
She's listening. She's very sad. She can't be there today, and she's put an unhappy face, but she's going to be back on form next week, she promises.
We have a lot of films to cover next week, which we'll go into in a little bit.
Find that in a while. At first, here's like a money inspired kind of song, really. Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper, Money Changes Everything. We're in the middle of the entertainment hour at Cambridge 105. Sky Keeble is here. We are sans Hattie this week, alas.
Mm.
So, what are we going to turn to next?
Well, we're going to cover quite a few films, but one that I'm going to give a bit more plugging to is the new Coen Brothers film, Inside Llewyn Davis. It comes out tomorrow, along with a load of other films, but this looks quite special. There's been great reviews for it. It's sort of a comedy stroke musical romance, covering a lot of different genres, and it deals with the folk scene and a struggling folk musician and his relations and such like that.
So it's like Spinal Tap kind of thing? Or?
Not quite. I believe the humour's a lot more deadpan. Well, saying that was quite deadpan, but yeah, it's a bit more realistic, should I say, grounded, but it's in a typical Coen Brothers style.
Right.
And it looks good as well. It's got a very sepia, kind of earthy tones to it. But we're going to play you a clip. Oh, we can't. We don't have a clip, I'm afraid.
No. I told you we did. Yeah. Honestly, pay attention.
But we do have some great cast members in it. You've got Kerry Mulligan, Justin Timberlake, John Goodman as quite a frequent Coen Brothers collaborator. And also Oscar Isaac in the title role. And it sounds like it's got some great folk songs in it. And, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Of course, they've, you know, had previous success with No Country for Old Men and Fargo. I've had sort of a hit and miss sort of attitude towards them. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Also to look forward to, you've got Grudge Match, Stallone and De Niro. Obviously not playing Rocky and Raging Bull, but playing sort of similar iconic characters in this comedy about two guys who want to rematch 30 years, you know, down the line. Also, you've got August Osage County, which I believe is a stage play that was like rated very highly a couple of years back. And that's been brought to the screen with Meryl Streep in, Ewan McGregor, Julia Roberts, Sam Shepard, a big cast, dealing with a dysfunctional family reunion, and yeah, so that looks really interesting too. Also, Jack Ryan makes his return to the big screen with a completely original script, not taken from one of Tom Clancy books.
Are they run out of books, or?
I don't know off the top of my head, but we have seen Clear and Present Danger, Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, you know. So Chris Pine now takes on the role of Jack Ryan, and it looks quite interesting. Directed by Kenneth Branagh, who's also
That's quite an interesting one.
And also Keira Knightley is in it. So it looks like an espionage thriller action film, probably in the same sort of line as Bourne Identity and whatnot. So that looks like worth a watch as well.
Okay, so that's pretty good. Quite a few movies up and coming.
Yeah, good,
then, by the sounds
good variety of things. From different genres. So yeah, I'd
recommend. What's your favourite movie around at the moment?
Around at the moment, I think Wolf of Wall Street actually is like, you know, just at the beginning of the year, it's a good one to start on. So, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Give our love to Hattie when you see her.
I will do.
Okay, thanks very much, Skye. It's Keane, won't be broken.